Blog Talk Radio.
Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy, and Sherry Edwards is still in the repair and recovery plan from her fall, although I've talked to her, and she's doing well. She's doing better. So let's all vision that coming together smoothly and easily. I have an announcement, and then our guest is very fun and zesty, Paul Galon, Master Formulator. Or I would call him a master formulator of, and we're going to talk about tonic herbs and adaptogens, our friends. But I want to let everybody know about a wonderful thing that Jeff Hayes asked Sherry to be involved with. Jeff Hayes is the filmmaker of the movie Bought, Doctored, other films that I can't think of. You can find out more information about him at jeffhayes.com. But they're doing this wonderful co-promotion of a free viewing of the movie Bought online. And if you go to Bought, and that's B-O-U-G-H-T, movie, movie.com/partners/Sherry, you'll go to a page where you can sign in, or sign up, I would say, for a free screening of the movie Bought online. And this Bought, we've interviewed Jeff before about Bought, and it's a documentary that exposes the ugly truth behind vaccines, GMOs, and big pharma. And it is ugly, as we well know. And it certainly goes along the line of my favorite complaint, grouse, about, you know, follow the money. Jeff's a really good documentarian and a good filmmaker, and this is a great opportunity to see a film for free. And just really, you know, jump on the, not exactly the bandwagon, but, you know, the, just really make people aware, you know, tell everybody about this. It's an opportunity to see a great film for free. And it's really a great film for people to know about because it's really informative. It's really heart moving because it has, you know, conversations with people who have had results from, you know, bad vaccinations or not bad vaccinations, from vaccines or GMOs or, you know, the control or power that Big Pharma has. Jeff really talks, you know, tells a great story. It's a multiple award-winning film. It's a great film. I have a lot of admiration for Jeff and his doggedness on these kinds of topics. And he does a great job of it. So again, that is Bought, B-O-U-G-H-T, movie, movie.com/partners/Sherry. And I'll put that in the show notes, in the Blog Talk Radio notes after the show, and then you can click on the link there. And I'll also put it in chat over at Blog Talk Radio, so you can click on that link and sign up. Okay, I don't think I have anything else. I could add a comment about the debates. Wow, can you believe that? That's pretty much all I have to say about the debates. Just mind-blowing. Just really? This is what it's come to? Mudslinging, you know, there's no longer decorum of any kind. I'm not saying that anything that was said was wrong necessarily or right necessarily. However, decorum is out the window. I don't know. Odd. Okay, so to a much better subject, we'll talk with Paul Galon. Paul likes to be on the cutting edge. President and founder of Herbal Products and Development, he has studied herbs and formulated innovative herbal products and whole food concentrates for over 30 years. Through his extensive travels, he has become knowledgeable in both native and foreign botanicals, having studied medicinal plants in many countries. Paul created the concept of a natural first aid kit for travelers in 1991. The kit was the first of its kind marketed in the U.S., seeing the need for high-energy nutrition for highly active people. The full range of nutritional and natural products that Paul has helped bring to the market includes nutritional green foods, seed oil blends, enzymes, antioxidants, vitamin mineral antioxidants blends, full extract herbal combinations, nutritional chocolates, probiotics, skincare, and other concentrated powdered blends. Paul is joining us to talk about the long-term benefits of tonic herbs and adaptogens.
So the first question I want to ask you, Paul, is what are tonics? You know, we're going to talk about tonics and adaptogens, but I think, you know, a lot of our listeners have heard the term adaptogens, but I don't think nearly as many people have heard of the term tonics. What are tonic herbs and why do we want to know about them? Why should we care?
Tonics are very important in my formulation. Number one, tonics are often called adaptogens, and as adaptogens, they regulate and adapt the body to stress, number one, and also to outside conditions. So they normalize. They're more of a modulator than a stimulant, but yet they provide a fortification of the body so that the body feels reinforced and with proper energy, but not speedy kind of energy, more of a balanced, grounded kind of energy. And the work of adaptogens was Peter Bregman, Dr. Bregman, I'm sorry, out of Russia. An adaptogen was coined for Siberian erythritol, which used to be called Siberian ginseng. And that was a non-specific tonic that would adapt the body, and they used that for their cosmonaut program. And so there are a lot of kinds of substances in various ways that have that kind of characteristic.
And I'm actually sidestepping my own questions. I happen to have your HPAD, or actually Paul's community page up, and I see the header on there. I'll talk more about your sites later. That is actually, I'll tell the audience now, that's a great page to go to see the, I call it the gateway or the portal to Paul's world, paulscommunity.us. And one of the pages that I'm looking at has the banner, and I'm thinking that in many cultures, I've never thought of this before. I don't know if this is true of Americans as much as other countries, where adaptogens or tonics have also been used in cooking in a culinary way, not just as a medicinal, like in a capsule or a tincture, but in the foods. Did we ever do that in this country, or did that come over with...
Well, that's very interesting. In Asia, for example, the tradition is that they used astragalus, and they used the goji berries, and they used a lot of interesting materials in their foods that were tonics. And in fact, there's a restaurant in San Francisco, about 22nd and Irving. I think it's called Shangri-La, and they cook with those kind of tonic foods in their, I think it's a vegetarian restaurant, actually, and they cook with a lot of these Chinese herbs in their foods. It's kind of interesting. So that's an example of it. And we read a paper called The Three Sacred Asian Berries, and in that we talked about goji, amla, and schizandra. And they all are five tastes, which is in Chinese the sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and pungent quality. So they have all of them. And of course, you know, they predominate on more in the sour, sweet range. But they're, you know, they're tonic because they have all the property of all the foods. And in a lot of the Asian cooking, that's a principle in Thailand and China. India is very complex. All over Southeast Asia, that's kind of a tradition of mixing a variety of tastes which have all those tonic properties into their foods.
And do you think that they were, let's say in, you know, I don't know, pick a culture, China, were they using those herbs to achieve the flavors first, or were they using those herbs because they knew that they had tonic benefits, do you think? In other words, were they used first as a culinary and then it was discovered? Do we know that? I'd never thought about that either.
Well, the way it went, I think, well, yeah, it's kind of, it could be both, but these were traditional ways that they prepared foods. And so there were certain foods that were prepared actually for specific constitutions and for specific situations within people's health. So let's say they were trying to build up certain, you know, what they call qi in China, you know, for the energy reserves, your qi, you would have qi tonics, which could be the goji berries and, you know, the maybe they used cordyceps, or maybe they used certain times they would use soups, would have the astragalus, and they would have the wild yam, maybe in certain other ones. But they would gear them toward, you know, more general properties, you know, just generally for people, their bone health, their blood health, their, you know, maybe, you know, down to the organs. So they were all revitalizing, let's say, as tonics in the food. And I think that's a traditional way that was done. And it really wasn't for flavor as much as a sort of an addition to create the complexity, but also within the complexity was a lot of health benefits.
Yeah, and I suspect, as I think about it, that possibly part of the reason that they use them in a culinary way is a lot of the things that you've mentioned, the roots and the berries, really want some cooking time to release their vital properties. And a lot of those, a lot of those broths and soups and stews that they made would cook for hours. So it made perfect sense. I'm making this up, but
right.
It makes sense as I think about it.
They were covered so that the nutrients would stay in there, but it would be, you know, confident. You know, like how people eat these different broths and soups. And, you know, that's why bone broths are so popular, because they're constantly getting a lot of revitalizing of minerals in their foods. And then for a vegetarian way, there'd be other berries and roots and barks, you know, could simulate the same property in that way, too. So it's, there's a lot of ways to get to certain kind of tonic properties. There's many ways to go.
Okay, I'll bring us back from the culinary thing. You're one of the few people that I could ask all those questions of, so it was that was fun. But I want us to bring us back toward, why don't we start out talking about one that I think a lot of people have heard about. I mean, I think a lot of people have heard about Siberian ginseng, but I think even more, for some reason these days, people are hearing the, you know, herb or root, you know, ashwagandha. Talk to us about some of the benefits, you know, why ashwagandha is, well, A, it's very popular now, and B, it just, you know, it's such a wonderful herb. Talk to us about that.
Right. I used ashwagandha and Siberian ginseng or Siberian eleuthero, as it's called, in a variety of formulas. And I made liquid extracts as well as capsules. And in one called the Body Electric, I was featuring Ayurvedic herbs, which ashwagandha is one of the most well-known in India, in the Ayurvedic tradition, that and, of course, amla is very highly revered, which is the berry. But I use that with Bacopa monera, which is called Brahmi. That's very good for the brain and nerves. And I use it with Gota Kola, Tulsi, and Siberian Eleuthero, which was the exception on that one. The rest are the from India. So and that was for nervous system support. And what that did is it strengthened the nerve connection to the brain and colon, which I call the second brain. as a way to improve vitality and the immune health. So that was actually used for chemical and electromagnetic pollution, and I use that for adrenal fatigue and brain fog, a little bit of anxiety and tension and sleep difficulty. And then in the capsule method, I just recently finished a formula about 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, I guess, adrenal and kidney tonic. And this was a support for stress, anxiety, and normalizing energy levels. And this featured both the Siberian Eleuthero and the Ashwagandha at the highest amounts. These are 800 milligram veggie caps, and there's 120 in a bottle. And then I added rhodiola, 18 to 1 concentrate, and a full spectrum reishi, the fo tea, which is called Hushu Wu, and the Shizandra, which is the berry I was talking about earlier, the sacred berries of Asia. And the two features were Siberian Eleuthero and the Ashwagandha in that. And that one was, you know, when there's chronic stress, you know, how the adrenal glands are overworked. This is to kind of bring back sort of a balance, and that was the similar properties to the body electric. And so this formula was a classic adaptogen, because ashwagandha was called, also nicknamed Indian ginseng from India, and that was the nomenclature terminology of it. Also thyroid function, as well as kidney and adrenal, which are basically dealing with our energy reserves, so that's what it helps. And these help to regulate blood sugar and yet stimulate blood flow, and having imagine a calming but yet revitalizing action, so that you're calm with high brain function and stress regulation, but not sleepy, but yet active mentally, but yet calm in the body. So this was kind of an interesting departure into tonics. So those would be tonics as well. And the body electric and the adrenal were kind of classically used of those kinds of herbs in that
right.
way.
And I've always defined in previous calls and, you know, shows when we've talked about herbs, or I've, you know, talked with, or Sherry's asked me questions, I've always defined an adaptogen as an herb who's, you know, seeking balance in a certain way. How do you, because in that formula that you're talking about, everything in there is really striving and supporting the body in seeking balance, you know, so you're not hypertonistic or hypotonistic, and it's not overstimulated or understimulated.
Right. You're modulating. Yeah, you're modulating. Mm-hmm.
And is that how you would define an adaptogen ultimately, as a modulator? Is it's wanting to help the body as
exactly
for balance?
It's a stimulant.
Right.
Yeah, it's a modulator. So these are immune modulators, and the beauty about modulation is that it feeds your brain so that, or your body, so that you're not getting too much stimulation, and you're not getting it's just feeding your body is what it actually needs it for optimal functioning. So you know, modulating is really a key thing, and that's kind of a principle to tonics, is modulating the body.
Yeah.
You know, so it's reinforced. It has its energy. It has its energy reserves, but it's not expending them and burning itself out. That's why it's helpful to conserve the body, which is what supports the kidney and the adrenal, so you don't have the adrenal fatigue.
And you're steering me slightly off into another question, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of times when people hear about something, like people hear about ashwagandha, they hear about Siberian Eleuthero, they hear about something. But when we talk to somebody such as yourself, you, I believe, for people, I think I've mentioned before, I've known Paul for quite a number of years, that you think in terms of formulations, Now, what is the benefit of having a formula versus a single herb? Like I say, a lot of people think, oh, I need to take ashwagandha. And that may be beneficial, but it seems to me there's a lot more power. You know, like in in your new formula, the adrenal and kidney tonic, there's a lot more power in a formulation because you have that whole dance of why you add each thing into that to make the ultimate, you know, goal of seeking balance. And so talk to us about the purpose of formulating.
Formulating, yeah. Well, I call it, it's the synergy. And the synergy is definitely, you know, more than the sum of its parts. Synergy is there are many cultures throughout the world that I formulate in a worldwide fashion. And the synergy of many of these are so closely aligned that they fill in a little bit that others don't, and yet they reinforce the same as the materials in that. For example, if I'm looking at rhodiola and rosacea in this formula of the adrenal and kidney formula, that's playing a supporting role in terms of relaxing the body and with providing the mental focus, which Siberia Lutheran does the same kinds of things as well. They do them in a slightly different way, but they really synergize together well, and the ashwagandha has many of those same properties. So they're all helping to support each other. The faux tea in that is supporting the kidneys in a little bit more of a specific way, but yet it's helpful to the adrenal glands, which are located just on the upper, you know, the above the kidneys. The shizandra has been known to have a lot of beneficial reports from China, and I have a write-up on it called The Three Sacred Asian Berries about shizandra and all the commonalities between goji, shizandra, and amla. And that's in there, and I have a full-spectrum reishi, which we'll get into that a little later, but the mushrooms, also the synergistic property of the mushrooms, both singularly and in combination formula, have a lot of wonderful properties and supporting properties with the heart. They call it harmonizing the formula. So I feel like they're harmonizers of the materials.
Right. And there's a phrase that, and again, herbally, and then I want to ask you a question about the ginseng or the Siberian Lutheral. That herbally, we use the term stimulant, but sometimes in a formulation you might add ginger or cayenne or something that we would call a stimulant, but it's not really a stimulant to the system. It's more like to carry the formula into the extremity, you know, into the body.
Right. You're moving the blood, and that way the ginger is called a carrier. And in traditional Chinese medicine, ginger was always an auxiliary support herb, like licorice often, but the ginger was to move the blood and to act as a catalyst in the formula, and that was its function. So that was how that was playing out in those formulas. And turmeric had a lot of those properties, which countless uses of turmeric, whole books written on it. So much to discuss with just that particular herb for inflammation and regulation, circulation. Another one that I use in my formulas and very, very important herb. And again, with the capsules, of course, these are standardized extracts and they're concentrated from ethanol and water, so the water alcohol extraction that then is dried into the powder, but they're often 10 and 20 to 1 concentrates of the material, so they're very strong. And then the fluid extracts, just to digress a little bit, are made in a way that I'm using an organic cane alcohol with a charged water, and the you know, the materials that I'm using are also enhanced as much as I can possibly do as well. So, you know, they're all, they're not just powders. That's what I'm trying to basically say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to reiterate that and say, so what Paul's saying, this is like a chalkboard demonstration, is really that, you know, there's a big difference between taking a powdered herb and putting it in a capsule versus making a water ethanol extract. So taking all the properties out of the herb, dehydrating that, and then concentrating that. That means you've got a lot of punch in a capsule. So it's a...
In a capsule, for sure, because they're concentrated down. See, sometimes you're taking 20 pounds of materials to yield 1 pound of the material at the final stage. And then in the fluid extract form, the concentration is derived from how strong the, what they call the menstruum or the medium, is in relation to the amount of material or herbs that are in the extract. So they can be... you know, a 1 to 4, a 1 to 6, a 1 to 8. I use about a 1 to 1 or 1 to 2. So they're concentrated, and I extract them for actually several months. So they're extracted in as much material that can come out of that primary stuff, the sludge, the material in the alcohol water. Is concentrated as much as possible and then pressed out. So they're fairly concentrated, the fluid extracts, as I call them. Some people call those tinctures. So
yeah. And then now I want to move us slightly. There are so many conversations we could have here. But let's talk about what I didn't know that Siberian ginseng is now called Siberian Eleuthero. I mean, I know it is Eleutherococcus, but why is it changed from being called Siberian ginseng just because of how people are thinking about it, or?
Oh, no, it was a legal thing in that it wasn't a ginseng as such. It behaved as a ginseng because of how things symbolically worked. And it's an Eleutherococcus, Senecaucus, Eleuthero-Senecaucus. So it's called Siberian Eleuthero these days. That was a nomenclature that was challenged not only by the industry, but by the regulators. And it became imperative to change it. That's just the way things happen. And that's the way that happened.
Okay, well, I'll correct my languaging because I'm still calling it, I'm so old, I'm still calling it Siberian ginseng. I didn't know we'd...
Most people do, but they call it Eleuthero because it's an Eleutherococcus.
Right, okay.
So, now, like, the other thing, it has a lot of the same effects as, let's say, an American ginseng. You know, basically the way it works in the circulatory system, the way it works on protein and fat metabolism, the way it works on the kidneys, endurance, productivity, the mood, has glandular tonic properties, and adrenal. So they're both important for stress and physical and emotional stress as well. American ginseng is considered one of the most balanced of the ginsengs, as opposed to the red, or maybe even the Korean one, you know, or the Chinese red one, because those are prepared in a certain way that those are more on the stimulating side, whereas the American is a little bit more on the neutral side. So all the types of ginsengs, the traditional ginsengs, have varying properties, and the American is very highly regarded in terms of its properties as a tonic that doesn't stimulate the excess, what's called yang, you know, the excess yang energy. It's more balanced.
Yeah.
So it's very highly regarded. The Siberian Eleuthero is a very good reinforcer of that. And in, for example, in the Global Mail formula that I have, I use the American ginseng, the cordyceps, and the Siberian Eleuthero, in, you know, with Tonkon Alley and Hawthorne for the hard. And I use those with the tribulus and the epimedium, the horny goatweed, and the ashwagandha and the rhodiola. So I use that as a circulatory and support for stamina and recovery. See, so there's ways that these can be used kind of together, and there's ways that other materials go into those as well. So that was another direction I took with that particular formula. But I used all three of those, and that the American, the Siberian, and then I used it with the cordyceps, which are legendary as a kind of a tonic on the, you know, on the mushroom side, but actually a caterpillar originally. They're cultured now in a lab, yeah. But that's how they originally started.
And once again, you're doing that synergism, you know, the formulations. I think that's something that's unclear to people. As I say, you hear a lot about ashwagandha, and then suddenly everybody's taking ashwagandha. You hear about Siberian, and everybody's taking that. And really the concepts of, you know, an herbalist such as yourself, of making formulations for a reason. You have an idea of a recipe or a formula of, you know, this works really well with this. Here's what you're, you know, here's the goal of the formula. And then you make that synergistic blend of herbs to get where you want to go. And there's a reason for, you know, in your mind, all that goes together. In my mind, that all goes together as well. And that's a real, that's kind of what I would call a sleeper concept, I think, in the world of people thinking about herbs. You hear a lot, you know, I don't know that he has, but I'll blame this on Dr. Oz. I'm certain Dr. Oz has done a show on herbs or on ginseng or on ashwagandha or, you know, something as a stress reducer. But he would talk about it as a single herb, like, that's it. There you are. Take this. And you will have some benefit, but I believe you'd have much greater benefit in a formulation.
That's true. The thing is that, you know, we in this country, we do use a little bit of reductionist thinking in terms of one item. When we did clinical studies, and, you know, there were what are called polyherbal, many herbal materials in the formula, and yet using even two at once, that was really difficult in the clinical studies to even grok for many people. They just kept going back to the formula and saying, oh, it's the milk thistle, it's this, it's that. The whole thing of the synergy was very, very difficult for even, these were people who were in charge of the regulation of the study. They had a hard time even understanding the, anything beyond one item. And they would just keep referring to that one item as opposed to the formula. So it's permeated the whole culture, is that using it and using it with finesse and using these materials in a way that they're what you call bioenhancing, they're activating each other and enhancing their properties and strengthening the formula. This is sort of long-term, the long-term synergy of the of what these formulas are about. Like, these could be used hundreds of years from now, and they would still, you know, they would be classic.
Right.
Is kind of what I'm going for. Something where everything works together in the formula, and it's not a fad, and it'll be here. And now, and here in 100 years, the same formula would be the same effectiveness and the same tonic properties that it would have today.
Well, and that's the great thing about the idea of a, you know, that's why I really wanted to do a show with you talking about a tonics and adaptogen, is that's the idea of a tonic, is it's something you take for years. It's not something you take for a week and go, why, I feel much better now. You may indeed feel much better now. But the idea is long-term beneficial effect.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, in a way, let's say, you know, with this genre of green foods, I was the second green food in the country in 1991 after Exuma. and Supremely Green is my green food, but I use the barley grass as one of my favorite tonics. It's, it takes 24 pounds to make 1 pound of that, certified organic from Utah. And I use spirulina and chlorella, both are certified also, with a variety of plants. I mean, there's a lot in that one. But Supremely Green was tested with triathletes, and, you know, there's not that many you can get for a study. There's only 15 or so. And we're actually pursuing getting that published either in the Townsend Letters or the Journal of Clinical Nutrition recently. And so Supremely Green is a tonic as well, in the real sense of the word, in that it contains all the milk thistle and the dandelion. It has the sea plants. It has the FOS complex. It has the mushroom complex. It has the all the berries and flavonoids from the berries, all of that. It has the Amazon complex, and it has all of the greens as well. So it's a full-spectrum kind of tonic, and it's Supremely Green. And those are concentrates. They're not just powders in there. Those are extracts. So it's a little different than others that you might find. Yeah.
It's a high potency, you know, almost it's, I would actually call that, I think of that as a food, because of everything
exactly.
That's in there. It really
yeah.
is a nutri. I mean, it's a nutritive slash food.
Well, exactly. You know, when, Amazon John of the Amazon Herb Company went to, you know, down the Amazon and all that, he told me many years ago that he basically lived on that for 3 weeks.
So, that's amazing.
You know, you can definitely live on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I officially wouldn't want to say that, but, you know, it definitely would fortify you and sustain you if you needed that. And, people fast for a month, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Although we would never recommend that, but people have done that. Yeah.
Exactly.
You mentioned it, but I want to talk a little bit more about it, because this is another herb that sort of passes in and out of pop, or has passed into popularity and seems to be, you know, because of how marketing is in the world. Rhodiola.
Right.
You know, you've mentioned it in a number of your formulas, but, you know, rhodiola is a great herb. It's such a sleeper. I don't know why it's such a sleeper, but such a great herb. Talk to us about rhodiola.
Well, rhodiola is really great. They're called rosabins is how they activate it. And this is about an 18-to-1 that I use. It's a 3-4% rosabins. And rhodiola reduces fatigue. So it benefits energy levels and physical performance. It provides, like, muscle recovery. It's, you know, dexterity, strength. And it helps to relieve stress. So it's supporting a good, relaxed sense of being in mental state. It also balances the blood glucose, and it supports the cardiovascular, the heart tissue as well, and it helps maintain a healthier level of insulin. So rhodiola has a lot of wonderful properties, and you can see how it works so well with Siberian Eleuthero and Ashwagandha in that formula, because they all kind of build on each other. It's like a lattice structure, and or scaffolding, you know, it's providing a lot of strength and integrity to the formula. So rhodiola is right in there in that adrenal and kidney tonic. And I use it in a few other things, but that's one that I really feature it. And then I feature it a little bit in the Global Mail as a way of, that one I actually used 4% rosabins. That one helped it to, it had a lot of the same kind of properties as, you know, in this, but it does have a little bit to help with testosterone levels as well. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's also good for the sustainability of endurance, and that's a key property of the adaptogens is endurance. So it has that tonic endurance capacity, but yet it relaxes the body just like the Siberian urethra does. So they have that ability of having the body relax, but yet be fortified and strengthened so that it's working at a good optimal capacity without feeling that stress or over amplification.
Yeah. And it's such a different way of thinking. I think that's why people mm-hmm. are slightly perplexed sometimes by adaptogens, is the idea of, you know, in a culture where everybody has a cup of coffee in their hand, and I'm a fan of coffee, mm-hmm. Everybody is, yep. Stimulant in the sense of that's a stimulant, but that's really, kicking the adrenals in the head falsely, versus the idea
exactly.
of something like rhodiola, which gives your body the energy to, when you need it, you have it, and yet it's relaxing. Versus these stimulants like caffeine or other, guarana or, some of these other herbs that are straight stimulants.
Right.
That's it. They're just a stimulant, man. They're just in there kicking your adrenals and going, go! And then there's no backup.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
the rhodiola and these ginsengs are giving the body the energy, the real energy, the core value of that energy, so that when you need it, you've got it. But yet it's calming because, this is in the more esoteric realms, but I suspect part of it is that because you have that deep inner energy, you're able to feel more relaxed. Your body is not in a state of like, oh my God, we have to do this because we're too stressed out. You feel more calm, more at ease. I don't know.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the way this is that it gives your body its fortification that it needs without without that stimulation. And the adrenal glands are, I call it the adrenal and kidney formula, that particular capsule that I just made, the product for our times, because that is typical to the Western culture, the kidney and adrenal stress, and it's interesting because every culture has a propensity for certain kinds of tonics and organs. I mean, in Chinese medicine, it often talks about the kidney. In Ayurvedic medicine, it's talking about the brain and nerve. That's why the body electric, Then in our culture, it's definitely the adrenal glands are stressed, and the kidneys supporting that, too, and that's affecting our whole fluid balance, And coffee is interesting because coffee is basically providing a minus water ratio intake for the body, and that coffee is basically depleting the adrenals and kidneys, and it's throwing off the fluid balance in the body. And this is what this these materials are doing, is they're helping to balance and nourish those those glands and those organs. So it's a very different property.
So to be a great thing for me in the morning with my cup of coffee to take an adrenal tonic capsule.
They would be buffering each other, which
yeah.
is actually, at least not calming. It would be buffering,
right.
Which would be, not good, not bad.
I'd end up neutral, but it would at least be, organic fair trade coffee. I like my one cup of coffee in the morning. I'm not a all day coffee drinker, but I do have my ritual with coffee.
Right.
And one capsule, it makes me go, okay, I guess I should take a capsule of that every morning with my cup of coffee, because it's a positive.
Well, it would be a good idea. That would definitely buffer that for sure. And, also fluid intake has a lot to do with that in terms of keeping the body, regulating the fluids. I know when I don't drink enough water, my body gets feeling, slightly, dehydrated.
Yeah.
And that's a really big thing, to just drinking enough water, proper amount of water. And I'm not talking about a cup or two a day. Most people need about a half a gallon to 3/4 gallon or 5/8 of a gallon,
yeah,
to get proper, hydration. And hardly any of us do that. I mean, very few people. If you're doing any athletics or where you're undergoing a lot more expenditure, you need those electrolytes to come back in your body. You need minerals, and that's another thing, is minerals are another important cofactor in this whole discussion, because they're the base note that are supporting all of the organs and the cells in the body. It's just the proper mineral intake, you know, however we get that.
Yeah, whatever it is. And originally, I mean, do you feel that our grandparents, we're old enough that I'll just say grandparents, probably had a better mineral level content, because they probably got more of their food directly from the earth, let alone the fact that there wasn't the whole petroleum industry beating the earth to death?
Exactly. Yeah, before the petroleum beat the earth to death, the soil was completely different, and you know, and they would also take carrots out of the ground and wipe off a little dirt and maybe even hardly wash it and eat it. And I think they had a lot of, that also contributed to the bacteria, the good beneficial bacteria in the body. And I think people weren't as afraid of the germs and the sanitation and the Western culture is very obsessed with excessive sanitation, and I think that has to do a lot with why people get so ill when they travel to other countries. Is their bodies aren't accustomed to having these flora, these bacteria in them. They're, you know, and especially some things like antibiotics, what that does,
yeah,
and how that's taking away the flora. So, you know, increasing the flora and increasing the fresh produce of what we get from foods from the farmer's market and from our gardens, and, you know, really good stuff. I mean, these are like night and day to just standardized foods that are out there. You know, people have that choice of what they can take into their bodies. And that's the water and the foods. But, you know, we have to be vigilant about that. And, you know, these are major questions.
Yeah. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did a show with Jason and Mira Calton, who just wrote another book called The Micronutrient Miracles. I think that's it. That's not quite the title, but it's close. And they're on a big push out there, really talking about what you're talking about in terms of, you know, and a long time ago when we first interviewed them, they had written Rich Food, Poor Food. Again, I'm not sure that's right. Oh, Naked Calorie, that was it. And they had come up with the term GPS, which had to do with teaching people how to go to the grocery store and shop. And my overview was really shop the perimeter of the store. Stay out of the middle. Just stay out of the middle. Go to the produce department. Go to the meat department. Maybe some dairy or eggs. You know, that kind of thing. But really, you know, just eat real foods. It's a it's a rash concept in a culture that is, we're so hyper and so, you know, everybody's on the go, 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 that it's really about eating real, just exactly what you're saying. That's what our grandparents had, was that they were eating real foods. They had other stressors, but they were eating real foods that were whole foods, and now we're returning to that. We see it trending, and now just more of that. You know, if we can get our hands on real foods.
Right, exactly. It's like what they say, hidden in plain sight. Yeah. You know, these are there, and some know it, some don't. You know, we have so many opportunities of eating well and getting proper nutrients. We also have a very toxic environment, but, you know, there are a lot of ways to fortify the body and strengthen it and strengthen our immune system and, you know, improve our lives. It really comes down to our choices that we make and, what you know, whether we respond only to crisis or whether, you know, what we're trying to do here is just express the idea of, tonics and supporting your body and increasing your resilience and your strength, your core. That really helps. Of course, obviously, getting some exercise and getting positive reinforcement, all this comes into play, but we definitely have to, supplements are, you know, one aspect of this. These are all important aspects to consider, and, you know, that we have them there. And the reason I developed these formulas were to kind of support what I felt people really needed in the culture, and that's what I tried to address with my whole product line, was to address the kidney, address the liver, address blood sugar, address proper fortification of vitamins, and, you know, the mushrooms were the immune system, and that's a whole offshoot of this discussion, is the immune system.
Yeah. You know? I'll pause here for a moment for our listeners and remind everybody that I think a great place to go to learn more about what Paul's talking about, the gateway, as I would call it, is paulscommunity.us. And when you go to that page, you'll see herbal products and developments, and that's where Paul's products are, and a lot of great information. And then in the middle is the unified community, which is a whole other conversation. Toward the end of the show, we'll talk about unified community. And then the site that is in development, the Exploring Botanicals, where from your travels, you have great photographs and then information about those herbs or substances that you found in your travels around the world, which I'm looking forward to. I see that's developing. I know it's a big, you know, project.
Big undertaking. Yeah, that was to catalog plants around the world and to catalog them in the pictures with English and Latin, and then put the country of origin and where they're found and then the uses.
Yeah.
So it was a simple kind of a cataloging of all kinds of plants. And, you know, hopefully it'll be eventually 10,000 to 20,000 of them. One day.
One day, yes.
I'm opening up to a wiki site in the future. So the exploringbotanicals.com will become a wiki botanical.
Wonderful.
And I have that for future, and that'll be an open source once I populate that site. And again, it's a huge undertaking. I'm always looking for anybody who wants to help out on that. But I'm just plugging away.
Exactly. So I want to ask you about, before we talk about unified community, because we've got about, you know, 10 more minutes, I want to ask you about an herb that there's, you know, there's a lot of positivity out there, and then there's the other side that's, you know, completely against this. And part of my question has to do with, is this an adaptogen or a tonic? And the category is cannabis. But I'm really looking more at the CBD side, cannabidiol side. Do you think cannabidiols, and we've done other shows talking about cannabis and cannabidiols and, you know, that.
Yeah, but there's so many offshoots of those, too. There's different CBD, there's CBN, there's a variety of them. The CBDs have a lot of anti-pain. And, you know, they've used it for seizure and whatnot. There's a lot of good information under the unifiedcommunity.info site under hemp, because it contains industrial hemp, but I also have a large section of CBD and THC. So those are all the clinical studies, the research by Martin Lee, the Arrowhead website, a lot of the really good websites that are going into the those materials, but in a clinical fashion, and showing the results and illustrating how they're working in that context. So, you know, the reason I put that up there is it's such a vast topic, and I just wanted to put up the best clinical sites that I could find. So it's under the Unified Community under hemp.
Yeah, I just went there since I have the site up, and there is, I just went in, and when you come to Unified Community, there's up in the left-hand corner, you'll see the banner up here, the bookmarks is what I have it, almost tabs, and you click on links, and I just went in and searched for just CBD. I didn't even spell out cannabinoids. And there's, you know, just dozens of articles talking about the various characteristics and, you know, cannabis and health and, you know, an amazing repository of information. But before we talk about unified community, I still want to ask that question. Do you think down the road we will look at cannabis as a tonic, or attributes of cannabis as a, you know, either an adaptogen, probably an adaptogen?
Most definitely. Well, there's so much to it. You have to remember that the cannabinoids, including THC, were used in through the 20s and 30s in this country within the medical establishment in a very, very, very big way. When hemp, the whole story of hemp is on that site also, but as you begin to understand how the political ties have changed and are changing back again these days, but it really had nothing to do with how effective the plant was or wasn't. It was all to do with the politics. So I think in the recent present, it's looking very encouraging that hemp, marijuana, which and THC, and the, you know, medicinal, and the CBD, which is legal because there's no THC, will be, you know, great studies and research being done on that. And that'll be great to see what happens to that. Also, the CBD and THC now are being bred both together, and there's differing ratios between the two for different conditions, which is very interesting. A lot of pioneering work in the up and through Oregon and Colorado, and into California now, in that. So we're seeing lots of strains being grown that have a specific portion of CBD to THC, and some are very high CBD pure strains too. And there's also pure THC CBDs being made. So CBDs are the another whole aspect of that. I think that website, though, the Unified Community under Hemp, will clarify it. There's a huge amount of information that will just open you up to seeing what's available. That's a free site, and there's no sign into it either.
It's amazing. It's actually a little confusing at first when you go to the site, because there is nothing pops up. Nothing says, oh, give us your email address and blah. I mean, it's like you just go to this site. This unifiedcommunity.info or is it .info and .us or just .info?
.info, and I think we have a U.S. too. The U.S. is more for the museum, more for the other one.
So yeah. unifiedcommunity.info, and you go there, and it's just—I mean, you know—have a beverage, be comfortable. You could be here for days. This is like always a time vortex for somebody like me, because I start clicking, and there's so much information here. It's just like mind blowing. What possessed you to build this amazing collection of information, which has no agenda other than education? I mean, there's nothing being sold here. There's nothing and it's just really an amazing research source.
Well, you know, it just kept developing, and as it did, it became 1,800 links, and it became 100 categories. Hemp, holistic health is 150 or 160 sites on holistic health, some of the best sites that you can find. There's independent media, there's community alliances, community development, there's biofuels of all types, there's culture and arts, there's earth care, whole section on that, there's water, there's sections on recycling, and there's regeneration, and food forests are very interesting topics there, with permaculture, different forms of green building. There's a lot on media and a lot of kinds of free sites and free educational videos. There's music, publications, all sorts of things on politics. There's on renewable energy, solar and wind as well, social justice. There's some on spirituality, transportation, you know, sustainable living, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I wanted to just put it out as a free site, not have any advertising, and have it so you didn't have to sign in. And you can even go on DuckDuckGo and go to things anonymously now, which is nice. You know, you don't have to be tracked by everything you do.
Yeah.
So there's a nice thing about that is you can just use the information and set it up as one of your you know, one of your links, one of your bookmarks that you can have and just use it whenever you want to. It's available, and there's I'm not gaining anything from that except that I wanted to put it out as a free site for the public that would be more than a sustainability resource site. There's a few articles about that, but more as a site of regeneration and what's possible and what's positive in the culture and what's really working, so that there was a model to go to and a model that could be used in cities and towns and villages and everywhere for just people to use and see what's worked in other places as
yeah.
well.
There's a great, I don't actually remember at this moment where I found this quote by you about unifiedcommunity.info, and the quote is, "I'm aware of the multitude of global problems and environmental degradation going on that we all face. I, however, mm-hmm. must focus on positive solutions. So here they are, and here you are. Search on."
There you go.
That's
that. How did we get there?
That's so right. I mean, that so really does say it about unified community. It is about positive solutions. I mean, there is some political conversation, but I mean, it's an amazing research. And for people who are interested in, you know, actual research, you know, it's a great resource to go, and particularly, you know, because you've been on the hemp wagon. And I mean, I'm talking even regular industrial hemp, not just cannabis in the sense mm-hmm. of for consumption, but in terms of a product, you've been on the hemp wagon for a really long time. I mean, you put on the first hemp expo in California, didn't you, in the 90s?
Yeah, we drew 6,500 people to Santa Cruz at the Civic Center for an industrial hemp expo. And that was really nice to be able to put that on to the public. It was a very lot of work, but very exciting. We had 85 booths and speakers. We had speakers, we had booths, we had a fashion show, we had, we had foods of all kinds, we had videos, we had 40 panels of speakers. Imagine that. But not only panels, they were individuals as well, but many of them were panels.
And wasn't that in, 1998?
1998. It was called Spring into Hemp, 1998. It's actually linked there under community, I think. There's a video also called Hemp Hemp Hooray. That was our video that started with that. And then there's a button called Hemp Expo under the word community, under Unified Community. And that brings you back to all the information about Hemp Expo. That's right below the Carol and Casey event, by the way,
okay.
under community.
Yeah.
So it's there. And,
it's a wonderful resource. I know that we could, I have more questions. We could, you know, talk for hours, but our hour is closing up. I know it happens so quickly. I think,
yeah.
And again, on the show notes at Blog Talk Radio, there is the on the notes, I put several links how to get to Paul. But as I say, I really like using the paulscommunity.us because it takes you to the portal to either the products that he talked about or, you know, more about those specific herbs. And also then to the Unified Community page and also to Exploring Botanicals. And It's just that page in particular, the pulsecommunity.us, is just a great resource for all sorts of information and some of these wonderful formulations Paul talked about. Is that your prefer? That's my preferred way to get to you. Is that?
A great way to the simplest is just Paul with an S, like Paul's Community, and then dot, and then I just point to people and say dot us.
Exactly. That's so perfect.
And then they get it. Oh, well,
yeah,
dot us.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. It's about us and all of us in the world, and it's Paul's Community. It's just a way to, each person does what they can, and I felt that it was important to do a couple of free websites, and I wanted to have my website pretty clean. I didn't want to really advertise it and crap it up with, all these banners and stuff. I really like the clean look of things and just having orderly information that people can find and hopefully to be empowered to make their own decisions. That's the thing is, I like to present information, but I do want people to think about it and really consider what will be good for them so that they're making their own decisions about what they need to do for their own health. And that's true empowerment, I believe.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Well, I knew this was going to go fast, but it went even faster than I thought. We'll have you back again soon because we haven't even talked about things like enzymes or nutraceutical chocolates or, there's all sorts of ways of getting, great nutrition and nutritives into the body. And you've been doing work in all of them for such a long time. But for now, I will just say to everybody, go to paulscommunity.us. And everybody have a great weekend, rest of the weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, Paul.
Thank you so much. This has been great. I really enjoyed being on your show. This was excellent.
Thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye, everybody.